that in the series, Spring and Grand Standing. We've been talking about that whole thing of entering into the standing and what does it mean to be an endurance athlete to Jesus. We know what endurance athletes look like in the Olympics when they come around and we see marathon runners. They get very impressed with these people that can endure physically, but what does it look like to be an endurance athlete to Jesus? Today we're going to be talking about discipline. But let's just read the Hebrews chapter 12, which is where we've been focusing. Let's just read some of these verses that we've been reading just a little bit over here. First of all, Hebrews 12, 1. Now this verse, and if you look in your bulletin, this is a little less lit challenge topic. So this is something that, again, I wanted to grab these because we do this for a second. What we do is every month we put this challenge card out, encouraging people to look at this every week. And you can see the beginning part of this. We're praying for a persecuted nation. This week we're praying for the country of Oman. And so every day this week we want to be lifting up our brothers and sisters in the country. And so every month you'll see we get different cards from different countries for every week. Then we have our challenge verse. And our challenge verse for this month is actually this one. We've been told to run that. We're going to stay together all together this month. And then on the bottom is one simple action. And that is just a simple way that we can be thinking about living out our promises, what we've been talking about, being doers of the word and not hearers only. So why don't we, since this is the verse that we're being challenged this month to sort of let dwell inside of us, let's say this verse together. Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. All right, excellent reading. Now, the goal is that you can kind of continue to repeat that. You can put this in your car, you can put this in your fridge, you can put this wherever you would do it regularly. So just kind of continue to say that verse over and over again. You begin to think of what that looks like to run the race that you want to do. God's word begins to dwell inside of us. That's when we start to see his word begin to change us. As he dwells in us, he begins to change us on that side. God can take a look at his word. So that's what we talked about the first 2 weeks. With that big cloud of witnesses, and then we literally, here at the foot of our cross, we laid the burdens of life, the stakes in these little cards, and we laid some of the things that come to us for closure. So that was the first 2 weeks. Then last week, we focused on focus. So our focus was focus, and we read Hebrews 12, verses 2 to 4. So let's read these two verses. We're going to have to read these together. But this says, looking to Jesus. It's all about where we focus. The founder and perfecter of all things, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame and being seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, that verse 2 really tells us that we are to develop a future focus. And we talked about that, how we are to develop a future focus for present joy. The only way I can experience joy in the present. True joy by developing focus on the future of his planet. On that end, conversely, consider him that he endured from sin with such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint heart. And then, if you remember, he said we need to have a focused mind to endure current day persecution. And so, if we are being persecuted in any way, in fact, sometimes we don't go out and search for persecution. Sometimes it comes and finds us. And to endure that, whatever that looks like, you need to have a focused mind. And then verse 4, in your trouble being finished, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. We talk about that verse brings us back to the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus becomes such mental anguish, struggling against sin. Struggling. He didn't sin. He didn't sin. But he was struggling with it to a point, to a degree, that he literally shed his blood. We talk about great drops of blood. And then we receive communion. We really focus in and remember all that Jesus did. Struggling on our behalf, but we're getting sinless, and then we can be sinless. And so that's where it's taken us to this point, and this is the last week Okay? So let's now move on and go to verse 5 and read kind of the remainder of this portion of this text where we're going to be focusing today. In verse 12, 5. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses to you as my son, do not regard the way you discipline of the Lord. We're going to be talking today about discipline. Do not regard the way you discipline of the Lord. You'll be weary when you're approved by me. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. It's for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there when his father is not disciplined? If you are left without discipline in which we all have participated, then you are illegitimate if you are not. Besides this, we have earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. So we not much more be subject to the Father of spiritual life. For they, our earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time and then came back to them. So the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained. Today we're going to be speaking about discipline. Let's open in prayer and ask the Lord to really work in our hearts, soften our hearts, to listen to believers, and to receive what he has for us. Heavenly Father, again, we come here with thankful and grateful hearts. Lord, we thank you that we are your children in you, Jesus. We thank you by your great grace. We trust in your sacrifice, Jesus, that we are welcome to God's kingdom and your kingdom. And we thank you for that, God, at the same time we understand that as sons and daughters of you, we can expect to be with you. And Father, I pray that today your heart behind this. God, that we would all be open to hear what you would have to speak on, and that we would be prepared, God, to see discipline that you would in your life. So I just pray for this that we can get going through this under your Holy Spirit. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, to be with us. We thank you, we love you, we worship you, in Jesus' name. And we're going to say, we're going to talk about discipline, running this race to some grand points of discipline. And I think a lot of us, when we hear that word, that brings up a whole bunch of different thoughts. Some of those thoughts may be very, very painful. Truthfully, there may be pain and hurt associated with the discipline that you've received in your life. Or maybe discipline brings up a very positive thought as you think about what does a discipline in life look like? What does that feel like? Well, I think we all have to understand that discipline, that word discipline, is extremely key to running a race of endurance. If we are going to run this race, discipline is a big part of it. Now, it's not a popular word, I understand that it may not be a good feeling word initially, I get that. I think this concept, this idea, this truth of discipline, and God is a loving Father of discipline, is very important. So let's actually begin by defining this word discipline, okay? The individual, this word that we're going to read about, here's the word. This is what it means. It's the Greek word, diadema. And here's what it means. It means instruction, education, training, and disciplinary correction. Now, some of those look kind of good, and some of those don't sound that happy. So, look at this instruction, education, training, and disciplinary correction. If we could put this into a phrase, here's the phrase: to nurture and train up a child. To nurture and train up a child. That is the heart of discipline, the nurturing and the training. We are God's children. He is our heavenly Father. And so he is nurturing us, and his desire is to train us up by instructing us, educating us, and then that comes to be the disciplinary way of correcting us. So discipline is clearly a combination of correction, punitive correction, and instruction. Now, this is very important to hear this because you can see this running through the old days. God disciplines us so that we may live a disciplined life. If that is a heart, God will discipline us so that we may live a more disciplined life. And that is for our benefit, and that is ultimately for His glory, for Christ. And so God disciplines us so that we may be and live more disciplined. Okay, so let's walk through this passage. We're going to have our final training tips. We've already had six training tips so far throughout this series. We're going to have a few more today. Let's walk through this. Let's read verse 5. We're going to walk through this text in verse 5. Let's read verse 5. It goes 12:5. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you all from you? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. Now, if you look at this verse, there are two things that we are not to do. If you see the two things, number one, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, and then it says, nor be weary when reproved by him. So when you think about those two things, don't regard it too lightly, God's discipline, nor don't be weary or tired. This leads us to our kind of our seventh endurance training tip. This endurance training tip number seven. Avoid the two natural pitfalls of discipline. There are two natural pitfalls when we are being disciplined by the Lord that we must avoid. Now, they're related to those two things, and they're related to not regarding it too lightly, not getting overly weary or tired when you are being disciplined. There's a balance here. Here's the mental isolation to the potential pitfall. Mental pitfall number one, don't downplay discipline. Don't downplay God's discipline in your life. What is this? This is when we don't take God's instruction and discipline seriously. When we take it too lightly, when God is disciplining us, when God is correcting us, and this is especially true when God is simply instructing us. And you know, like I do, you are aware when God is instructing you, when He is teaching you something, when He is motivating you for something, you know what that looks like. You know when the Holy Spirit is stirring something up inside of you. And what He's saying is, when that happens, that is a serious thing. Don't regard that too lightly. Don't regard that way. Take it seriously. Now, as a parent, maybe you can relate to that. So you got, if you are a parent, if you're not, think of when you were a kid. Because most of you were kids at some point. But remember these times when, you know, I'm in the middle of it, so this is all fresh for the parents for me. You go through this time when your kid is going through some certain time, and you love them, and you care about them, and so you go on, and I'm, for lack of a better word, you give them this really important, true feel. And it's good, and it's what they need to hear, and it's really long, and it's very important. But it's very important that when your kid is looking at you, like, one man is from right to get up there and have to shout out. That is so awesome. And I will never remember that. Whatever you do, this is important stuff that I am helping teach and train and instruct you. But they don't see the kind of. They're regarding it too lightly. What this verse is telling us is that don't regard when God does that with you, and He will. He will have times that He will speak directly into your life. And when He does, don't downplay that discipline, that correction, that adjustment to be downplayed. Because it's important. Now, here's the other potential pitfall in this. The second pitfall is this. Don't let discipline deflate you. Now, this is the other side, the balance. This is when you are corrected and you are instructed and you can tell this doesn't feel good and you're being disciplined for something that you've done or something that you continue to do or think or act in a certain way. Don't let that discipline be taken. Please listen to this. God does not want you to feel like you're a spiritual loser. That is not His goal in discipline. But many times we can take it. We can say, oh, God is disciplining me, He's correcting me, I'll never amount to anything.
said, don't be weary. Don't let your question come to the Lord. This is an important part of being dealing with don't let that be taken. So here's the balance. You've got to avoid these two natural pitfalls. One, don't doubt yourself. And God is instructing you. It's important. It's serious. You need to think about it and try to apply it. Secondly, don't let it be taken. And here's the balance in which you have to walk. All right, let's keep on moving. Hebrews 12, now let's go to verses 16 and 17 for our next important standpoint. For the Lord disciplines the one who loves. This is what he says. He chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. So what son is there when his father is discipline? Did you notice all the words sons in there? And did you see the word son who he loves and who he receives? I mean, do you see the heart behind God's discipline? God's discipline is based on the fact that you've been adopted. So here's spiritual training tip number eight. Spiritual training tip number eight. Remember that discipline is reserved for love's sake. Discipline is reserved for love's children. God will discipline you because he loves you. He will cause things in you. He will allow things. He will discipline you in his way because you are a son or a daughter of his. You have been received into his family. And we have to remember that when we go through the discipline of the Lord, it's reserved for us. It's very loved and received and welcomed and valuable to be done. When we are being disciplined, does it feel like we are loved? How can we feel? You know, fingers that this hurt me and all the more than it hurts you. I always thought one thing, but does that mean thank you and thank you? That I really be disciplined for me. It never feels good, so we don't feel loved when we are being disciplined. But we must remember that discipline is reserved for the loved children. In this passage that we just read, he uses the word sons and daughters to be implied and tied in that. He uses that word six times. In this short passage on discipline, he reaffirms the fact that no, you are my son. Discipline is building a disciplined life in us. That's what discipline is doing. It's building our disciplined life. So we have to remember that. All right, let's keep going. Verses 8 and 9. Hebrews 12 and 9. If you are left without discipline, in which we have all participated, then you are illegitimate to turn another son. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. We not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live. A couple of real key things I think we need to do today. This is one. Number one, from that first phrase, we need this. Amen. We can say that. We need it. We need this. Only a child mature and grown understands the need for discipline. They don't see it in the midst of it. But we need the discipline. The other thing that very clearly look at the last one, so we not much more be subject. Discipline also has to do with subjection, surrender, and submission. So discipline is all wrapped up inside of this idea of surrender. You know, a child who is fighting back against discipline, they're only making it worse. I mean, when we fight back and we kick back and we try to fight against when God is totally disciplined and correcting us, we're only making it worse. When you can learn how to surrender to that discipline, learn how to submit to the Lord, it moment, I said that was the only race that I've ever ran, but it was not the only race I've ever been in. After that 5 days and that super moment of the sun, I decided, and this is just a few years ago, I was pastor, but basically I didn't tell this. But I decided I'm coming for a half marathon. 5 days, no problem, time to sleep. So I decided I was going to train for a run of half marathon. So I went online and followed that half marathon. And I saw these training schedules and these training regimens. I thought I was going to half marathon. So I said, I'm not a runner, I'm a blogger. And I wanted some information on how to do that. And so I looked at it and said, okay, you need to plan out this like, kind of 40 days or something like that, where you start off and you run 2 miles. And then you run 3 miles, and then you walk half a mile. And then you run 5 miles, and then you this whole big long thing, and I have the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. And I have to then be thinking every single day about this thing that I do. I have no desire for that, so I came up with my own plan. And my own plan was this. I'm going to once a week, I'm going to take a little bit longer and longer runs. So I'm going to start off running what I feel is a little bit of a push, and every week, I was in decent shape at that point. And so I just said, I'm going to keep running longer and longer and longer, once a week. Sounded pretty good. I don't have to spend 6 or 7 days thinking about this. One day a week, my day off, long run, in the morning, done. And the time I get to the half marathon, I'm going to be training for this. So I started doing this literally in the beginning of the month. So it often what happened off is increased about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes per week. And then literally, one week I ran about 1 hour and 10 minutes. And when I got done with that 1 hour and 10 minutes, I mean, my cardio was absolutely, I felt fine. But my knee, something in my knee felt the way it didn't. Not what I was running, but what I got done, the knee kind of stiffened up like that. Maybe, I don't know. So the next day I decided, well, look, I'm going to try to run this off. I'm not looking to try to take another run and see if I can loosen this thing up. No one told me to do that. But that was my thinking. And so I went for a run the next day, and I got back from that run. And my knee was about this way. Not this way. Thank you. I was really not running speed. I did some kind of major damage to this area. Some runner's stupid meaning. What I didn't realize is that schedule, that structure, was designed to not only build up my endurance, but to build up my tendons and my ligaments and all the stuff that is also very involved. I didn't realize that. I had very good intentions. I had a plan. What didn't I want to do? I didn't want to go through the difficult, training process. This leads us to spiritual spring endurance training tip number 9. This is good intentions without discipline leads to hurt. Now, this can happen spiritually, and this can really happen spiritually. Where we have good intentions to serve the Lord, good intentions to run this race, but we don't want to put in the day in and the day out difficult, disciplined things of life, the spiritual things that cause us to have more influence in the race. And when we don't do that, when we try to move around those disciplines, it can lead to our hurt and it can lead to others' hurt. So here's the phrase. Don't try to shortcut God's work of discipline in your life. Don't try to work around it. Don't try to shortcut it. I've seen a lot of folks with really good intentions that want to say, in their hearts, they say, you know what? I want to do this to the Lord. I got this big vision. I got this big plan. I got all this stuff that I want to do for the Lord. It may be very sincere. And it may be very good, but maybe it's not God's time. Maybe they're seriously, but they could have. Of course, but they could have shortcut them and said, just do didn't have a vision, a plan, and a mission to do God's work. But it's saying God is in the process of disciplining you like he is me. Don't try to shortcut that. Don't try to get around that. You know, the spiritual discipline is in God's word, reading God's word, of prayer, of focus and worship on him, of gathering together, of loving those disciplines, those basic disciplines of the Christian life. Is a very key in developing and maintaining that heart of abiding in the Holy Spirit, that heart of connecting to Jesus Christ regularly for us. You can't sort it because you want to do it with me too. Clearly, he tells us what it will feel like every night. For the moment, all of this becomes painful rather than so we can know that what will discipline feel like? Well, it will feel painful and it will feel he is also at times disciplining in a specific situation that is going on around me, meaning that sometimes the relationship begins to wobble or fall apart, or sometimes my financial situation seems to be going in a certain way. Sometimes there is something in my life that just is not right practically, and maybe what you're doing is he's disciplining me in that situation. So many times, if my finances are falling apart and everything financially seems to be going in the wrong direction, it is because he's trying to teach me how to have a disciplined financial life. Or sometimes, if a certain relationship is going terribly, he is trying to teach me humility in that relationship. He's trying to teach me how to be disciplined in that relationship. And so, God works in my life inside and outside. So he works in disciplining and correcting me, but number one, many times I'm settling things inside. But does that mean every time I'm unsettled, it is a discipline issue? No, it does not mean. But sometimes it is. Does that mean every time something has fallen apart in my life outside, it's a discipline issue? No, it doesn't mean that. But sometimes it is. So how then can I know when I am being disciplined versus when I am just living in a broken world. Well, the key to that is 9:16. I'm not going to read these verses. You can read this as well. The key to that answer is the Holy Spirit of God that dwells inside of me. 9:16 tells me that the Holy Spirit will convict me of what is called righteousness. That means right living. So when I am being disciplined, God's Holy Spirit inside of me will tell me, yes, you have done this. You have thought this. You have felt this. You have reacted this way. Instead of that, I'd like you to do this. And so when I am being disciplined by God, His Holy Spirit will not just leave me in a place of unsettled, I don't know what to do. He will give me clear instruction on what I can do. And so God's Holy Spirit helps me to know when I'm simply living in a broken world that's full of broken people of whom I am one, and in life that doesn't always go well, versus when I'm being disciplined and connected by God to something specifically that I'm doing to the symptom or I'm not responding to something. And he's building a discipline that is inside. We also have to be very careful to use the Bible. We can begin to learn the difference between conviction of the Holy Spirit and condemnation of the enemy. Now, those are two very different things, and they will both be at work in discipline. When we do something we should not do, the Holy Spirit convicts us, convinces us of what we should do instead. The enemy, what he wants to do is he wants to condemn us for what we did and rub our spiritual noses. You see the difference. One sucks the life out to see that condemnation. One wants to actually breathe new life into you. That's conviction. God's goal is not that we would just think and remember and let it deflate us and feel like we're spiritually worthy. That's not His goal. Because we can't be effective for His kingdom if we are deflated. We are loved children, my friends. We are loved. And so He corrects us so that we can live a more disciplined life for our benefit and for His kingdom and His glory and His fruitfulness in our lives. So when we are being convicted, we will know what we should have done. I did this. A. I should have done this. B. What do I do? God. You know who you are. You know you messed up, and that's not the first time. You may not even be a child. You're such a spiritual loser. You know the stuff you've done. You know the stuff you continue to do. The enemy is trying to condemn you and take you very much. He's trying to rub yours and my nose in what we have done. And God's word tells me there is therefore now how much condemnation? None. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we don't let condemnation happen in terms of the discipline that the Lord has given us. But you see, God is working in the same situation as we are in the world. So we must learn spiritual strength and endurance. We must learn how to reject the condemnation, live with, learn from the conviction, and move on as the love of God. The result of discipline is future holiness, obedience to Jesus. The result of discipline is future peace, that's being settled on the inside of you. And the result of discipline is future. Physically, none of us are born disciplined. We see that with little children. They're not born disciplined. Spiritually, we are not reborn disciplined. We're not. We are reborn in an undisciplined spirit. And so then God is disciplining us so that we will grow up into maturity. So that we will show you mature in Him, so that we will be more and more like Jesus, so that our lives can be more of a reflection of who He is, for the whole more glory of His life being a Christian. God spends time with us, so He can teach us and train us to be strong. It's all part of the perfect place. You learn the lesson. You think God is ready to move on now? Aren't we ready to move on now? Yes. That's a little longer time to do it. Is the goal of turning off some kind of broken behavior into a discipline? You see, the goal of discipline is turning off that broken individual into discipline. Ultimately motivated by the love of our perfect human father. The motivation is that we have to do something. Love is not enough. Father, we thank you. Thank you.